For the next 3 days, we have a special election series. KSFR interviewed each of the gubernatorial candidates recently, wanting to give listeners a sense of each individual, one of whom will face off against Governor Susana Martinez next November. For the most part, we asked each of the candidates the same questions and hope that their answers will provide some guidance to voters who will head to the polls in the primary election being held this June 3rd. To give us some context about this election, KSFR first spoke with Professor Lana Atkinson from the Department of Political Science at the University of New Mexico and director of the Center for the Study of Voting, Elections, and Democracy. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Professor Atkinson.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So can you give us an overview of this primary election?
Well, we have some interesting races, particularly at the top of the ticket for the governor. On the Democratic side, we have a very competitive race going on in the sense that there are lots of actors and lots of players. We've got five candidates. We've got some competitive seats down ballot for the county that are critical in terms of deciding who's going to actually be in those seats because there are no Republican challengers. And we've got some other statewide races that are competitive, the treasurer's race. And we've got a Senate Republican race that is competitive as well. So there's a few interesting races going on for the primary, and people can go vote now. So I encourage them to do so.
Now, for this election, a lot of us are watching, obviously, which candidate will face off against Susana Martinez in November. The Democratic Governor's Conference basically wrote us off this year, though, saying that they didn't really think anyone could beat Governor Martinez. Can you address that? Is this a reality?
Well, obviously, that's their take as they start looking into the election as we started in June, as we're coming up on June. But elections can change drastically over the course of 6 months. Things can happen. Events can change the dynamic. That's where they are. Certainly, I've seen races turn around and change. So I guess I wouldn't write off an election before it happens.
So you don't really think candidates should be worried necessarily that people are sitting out the election? I mean, I guess that's the other thing, is that people will simply not vote because they don't think it's as important.
Right. I think the worry, you know, I think in the case of primary voters, you've got really committed voters. I mean, it's a very subsection of the electorate. And of course, it's only partisans. Independents are not welcome to vote in our closed primary system. So it's a subsection in that way as well. I think that there are candidates within, you know, counties and across the state who are turning out, you know, their voters and trying to get them out. The gubernatorial candidates have had a forum in Albuquerque. They've been up in Santa Fe. Certainly, I went to a meetup with candidate Howie Morales at El Dorado. They've been coming through La Tienda out there. So there's, you know, quite a lot of low-level, non-expensive activity perhaps going on. But there's, you know, we don't see as many ads yet, although they have started. And we do see some ads at the gubernatorial level. So we are seeing some.
I definitely want to get to that and about the expenses. But in terms of numbers here, I've heard some candidates say they need about 40,000 votes to cinch this primary in the gubernatorial race, obviously. So is that about accurate? Is it about 40,000?
Yeah, I'm not.
Across the board? Okay.
It, you know, I mean, I guess it depends how that's sort of a minimum if you were to divide up the five and then say you need one more.
Okay. 40,000 in one for that. Yeah. Let's talk about financing here and about money, because a lot of people have said, Alan Weber specifically, that he has enough money to beat Susana Martinez. And Javier Gonzalez, when he was chair of the Democratic Party, was saying that any candidate would need about $8 to $10 million to be competitive in this race. So how important is money, and how should that be spent?
You know, money is always critical because money is the grease that sort of makes our political machine go in terms of advertising dollars, in terms of polls, in terms of paying your campaign staff. So, you know, money is critical for a successful candidate. A candidate who is not going to compete, you know, on the radio, on TV, would be an uncompetitive candidate. Certainly, Martinez is going into this race with a large war chest. I'm not sure how large that is exactly, but she's been raising money left and right, and she's very good at it. And so to compete against her, someone is going to have to be able to either put their own money or raise a lot of money to be a serious challenger.
And there does seem to be a notable lack of television advertising. You mentioned Governor Martinez. I know I've seen maybe one or two by Alan Weber. We don't have a lot of time to go. Why aren't people spending their money? I know some people don't have as much, but even those candidates that have money don't seem to be spending it.
Well, you certainly, I mean, depending on where you think you are in terms of that process, I mean, if you think you're, you know, just going to clinch the nomination, if you're like, let's say, the Secretary of State race, and you're looking at Maggie Toulouse-Oliver, you know, she wants to save her resources for the general election campaign against the current Secretary of State. So depending on your dynamic of your race, you know, that's going to decide how and where you want to spend the money. So if you think about five gubernatorial candidates, where is the best place to spend that money? They're going to divide up the state sort of geographically and in terms of their personal constituencies. And so, you know, for them, thinking about perhaps that persuadable voter out there isn't probably the best path to take in terms of mobilization. Those persuadables in a primary in particular are not as easily identified, in part because, you know, all of the Democratic candidates are very similar, right? They all are, you know, they're not, how are they different from each other, right? They're all Democrats, you know, they all have similar agendas. So then you get down to, you know, personality characteristics and things you think that might be important for electability. And so it may be best for them to use their resources in terms of, you know, get out the vote efforts, mailing, personal phone calls, right? So they may have a different strategy that's not as visible in terms of mobilizing their base.
Well, it's interesting you say that because this interview precedes interviews with each of the candidates. And I did find that they all felt very similarly about a lot of different issues. And I specifically wanted to try to weed out their differences. And I found that to be a challenge. Now, we let the candidates speak as they would. This was not one where we challenged them on every issue. It really was for listeners to get a sense of voice and cadence, presentation, issues, beliefs. How would they be as a governor? And it was very hard to distinguish. So have you seen some notable differences among the candidates?
No, I would say that it's one of character and experience and resources that potentially are available to them for personal reasons or for political reasons. So I think that, you know, those are the factors, particularly in a Democratic contest, that are going to affect sort of the persuadables and the, you know, who do I like more? Who has the, you know, who has a trait or a characteristic that I think is going to be particularly attractive to voters and that can challenge Governor Martinez? So those, you know, and those aren't things you can adapt easily into a TV commercial.
Well, so your experience as the director of the Center for the Study of Voting Elections in Democracy, are there certain characteristics that New Mexicans are drawn to, that Northern New Mexicans specifically will like?
Well, you know,
will
I think,
appreciate.
There I think in the case of a information rich contest, so, you know, what are people going to do? People are going to go into the voting booth and they're going to select a candidate that they recognize. So the first thing is sort of, do I know the candidate, right? And if I don't know him, then I'm going to start using heuristics to make choices. So if I don't recognize, you know, do I know something about, you know, I could use heuristics actually like surname or gender or something like that to make my choices. Or I might just look at the ballot if I don't know and choose the first one because that's the most recent one. That's the one at the top of my head when I go through the list. That's sort of a favored position being at the top of the list. In low information contests, there's evidence that people choose the most recent one or the first one on the ballot when they have no information. So you end up using these heuristics and cues. And now if there's information, so if they've tuned in and they've seen the television ads or they've seen the radio ads or they watch debate, then they might be basing it on more information.
It's a little bit sad to think about the not so educated voter that goes out and simply marks number one on the ballot. But at least this person is voting, right? I mean, I think the majority just don't even bother.
Correct. I mean, you know, a huge percentage of the population doesn't turn out, but a huge percentage of the population that is registered turns out. Obviously, there are barriers to participation, and one of those barriers is registration. And so, you know, for a lot of people, they tune into the contest too late to actually participate. And, you know, that's one of the problems. I mean, the race is really heating up now. But let's say you turned on and you said, wow, I really am interested in this guy. I really want to vote for him. You couldn't. Right? Because you can't register to vote now. It's too late. You can register for the general, but not for the primary.
And most people will vote in the general. And as you say, it's a select group that will be very dedicated and go and vote in the primary, which reminds me, I need to go vote early. I will not be here for that. So in terms of appealing to New Mexicans, and you have laid out some very practical things, I've noticed in some commercials and in emails particularly, there's a lot of accusation about the way that Governor Martinez is raising money from these outside sources, from the Koch brothers. We have Governor Chris Christie and Dick Cheney coming in for a fundraiser. Is this something that can actually hurt her, or is this something that some New Mexicans will say, she's ours, we're proud of this?
Yeah, you know, I don't think those kinds of things trickle down to voters very easily. So the fact that you bring in particular people to help fundraise, you know, the people who already dislike you probably are the people that are going to be unhappy about those choices. And so the sort of, again, thinking about the sort of voters that might be on the fence, that's pretty detailed information that they're not going to get. And they're not going to use to make a decision. I mean, they can make a decision on Governor Martinez based upon her incumbency, based upon what she's been doing the last 4 years in office. So there's lots of information about her. And, you know, any policy information are things that are going to either help or hurt a particular voter in terms of deciding who they want to ultimately choose in the general election.
Well, this brings me to this Mother Jones articles, this series. The first one spoke about some of the ways that she spoke badly of her fellow legislators. But the seemingly more important accusation was the second article, which spoke of corruption and cronyism that came to light through a whistleblower complaint. Though this seemed to have a very short shelf life. Do you think people are seeing this? I don't imagine we have hordes of Mother Jones readers. But do you think this hurt her in any way?
Well, I mean, I think that it helps frame the election as we, you know, as we sort of set out. I mean, there are certainly agenda items, say, events that have happened, you know, policy decisions that she has made that ultimately her challenger will be responsible for bringing up and talking about in the election. I think corruption is always a very difficult. It's always sort of out there, and the other side's always claiming that the other side is corrupt. And so I think unless you have indictments, unless you have evidence, unless you have, you know, unless you have something firm, it just seems like a lot of chatter. To
a lot of whining by one side or the other.
Yeah, both sides about the other. And, you know, I think that's that those aren't then substantive issues that you can take to heart. You know, you might be able to bring on more of your own voters and remind them who they are and, you know, remind them that the other side is corrupt. And that may have some value. But in terms of thinking about voters on the fence or voters who are still making decisions, I think that it's, you know, they want something substantive, not accusations.
We would hope.
Yeah.
We would hope, right? So of all the candidates, Susana Martinez seems to have taken the biggest swings at Alan Weber specifically. One, do you think she is nervous? And if so, is it Mr. Weber or any of the other candidates?
Well, he's certainly come out swinging. He's got commercials, so I think she's being responsive to him, and he's made a heyday about the recordings. And so, you know, I think she's come back and attacked him. Now, she, you know, I don't know in her own private polling. I mean, maybe that tells us something about what her polling is telling her about who she needs to care about. You know, that's unclear. It's very hard to know. We don't have any polling evidence, really. There's some polls out there suggesting that King is good. But really, you know, going into a primary, electorate's not very well defined, probably even for you know, lower than a presidential year in terms of turnout in a primary. And so I think that she, you know, is she scared? Let's think about that. All politicians are concerned about the election. I think politicians have a really hard job. Imagine if every 2 years or every 4 years you had to get in front of people and say, don't you want to hire me again? I think that's a really tough job, you know, and it's a you got to have a strong ego for this job.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And so she's scared. Absolutely. Because there's always something that can happen. You never know where events can turn. Weber says says that he's the one that can actually fund a campaign and compete against her. So that may give her some amount of pause. And, you know, she wants to get her message out early. She's on the radio. She wants to, you know, do some knockouts now to help set and frame the general election in a way that's best for her.
We will note that we sent several invitations to Governor Martinez's office that were not responded to in any way. So unfortunately, we will not have those views here on this radio station, though the efforts certainly were made. So Gary King certainly seems to have the best name recognition here, though he didn't do well in the pre-primary at all. So where does he stand? Speaking of ego, he's going forward anyway. He really feels confident about that.
Well, I think, you know, he does. He has the best name recognition. He's the most competitive in the sense that he's won, you know, two statewide contests. He's run in other contests as well, so he has a lot of political experience. I think the thing that he didn't do well in the pre-primary convention suggests that a particularly the strongest and most committed activist, not just voters, but people who show up for an all-day political meeting on a Saturday, you know, that they're not excited by his candidacy and by what he has to offer. I think that, you know, he's in a position to have perhaps used his pulpit to make more noise between what's going on in the governor's office. And perhaps he hasn't been as strong on that front as possible. He doesn't seem to have the sort of fire in the belly for the campaign, though he wants to run and he wants to win. And so I think that definitely is a weakness in his campaign, that those voters are not excited by him. But his name recognition, even despite that, you know, can be a huge factor in that heuristic I was talking about. Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten information about the various candidates, you know, you're like, King, yeah, I recognize
him. It's very familiar. It's right.
Been around New Mexico a long, long time. And, you know, people are going to identify that and go, yeah, he's my man.
So in terms of whoever is chosen here, who will face off against Governor Martinez, what do you think the biggest issues will be moving forward? And what are the governor's weak spots?
Well, I think that there's some potential issues with the health group stuff going on. What's going to happen with that? I think there are ongoing personality issues with Scandera that could be attacked. So I think there is, you know, I think sort of thinking about what accomplishments there are and, you know, where could we move the state differently? You know, I mean, people really, you need to give people a reason not to vote for someone, but you also need to give people a reason to vote for you. In an incumbent race, in particular, that first part of that equation is really important. You got to give me a reason not to vote for the incumbent, because there's a lot of people who are going to go, well, you know, things are pretty good, things are better. So you really got to come up with some negatives to frame the election to set her off and get things moving.
Well, I think that idea about negatives is very important. Again, people have been talking about who is financing her, and it feels a little off. It feels like maybe that's not really the place to go. You mentioned two of the negatives there. Do you think that the candidates have been taking pokes at that successfully?
Well, I think that they have a lot of opportunity to think about those in the future, whoever wins. And, you know, once the campaign is over, they can really focus on that, because who's going to be the leader, right? And right now, I mean, the good thing is they're sort of not attacking each other. So on the positive side, you know, we're not going to have sort of voters who are dissatisfied with a winning candidate because he really came out or she really came out against, you know, someone they liked. So at least there's, you know, that sort of positive going into the general election campaign.
They have been very civil and very respectful with each other. And it does seem that even interviewing people around that, they just are looking for a strong candidate. And they're trying to figure out who has those qualities that may beat or may even be able to compete in any way. So it's interesting to note who that might be. We will find out now, won't we? On June 3rd. So let's talk about jobs under Susana Martinez. Is this also a weak spot?
Well, jobs are always a critical election agenda item, and it is a problem in New Mexico. We have lost about 6,000 jobs in the last year compared to every other state in our region who has gained jobs. So while every other governor can get out on their election campaign and says, you know what, we're building this economy, we're creating jobs, Martinez can't say that at the moment. And I think that is something that's attackable. And, you know, people are responsive to the economy.
And which other states have gained while we've lost jobs?
Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada.
Why have we lost so many while others have gained?
I don't know what that story is.
I'm speaking with Professor Lana Atkinson from the Department of Political Science at the University of New Mexico. She's also director of the Center for the Study of Voting, Elections, and Democracy. Can you say anything else about this specific election, both the primary election and heading into November? What else is very important about this, and what should people know?
About this contest in particular?
About this contest in particular, and maybe other contests that people should keep in their viewfinders.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of ballot questions. And, you know, we tend to focus at the top of the ticket, but there are things going on, you know, down ballot that are probably, you know, that are competitive and that people are going to decide who the winner is, right, for that office in the primary campaign. In Santa Fe in particular, you know, this is a very Democratic county. And so there are lots of, you know, seats where they're not running. The Republican Party is not running anyone. So the contest is in the Democratic primary, unfortunately. And so, you know, those races are actually sort of critical who wins. There's some judges that are all, most of the judges are decided in the primary.
Well, it's interesting. You note that there are some issues, so the people will be critical there. Can you mention some of these specifically that people would take part in?
Well, I believe the judges, there's like I think the Santa Fe County Treasurer's race is competitive. I hope I'm right about that. And I could be confusing it, though, with the state treasurer's race, which I know is competitive and have started running ads on TV for. You know, I think that it's important. You know, I guess I think it's important for us to keep in mind, oh, actually a really important race that's going on, although it's for the general, would be the race that's out in El Dorado. That district really changed. It really changed in the redistricting. And so right now our legislator died. That's where my vote is. That's where my representation is. And our legislator died, and Governor Martinez appointed a Republican to take that seat as the incumbent, who is Vicky Perea, who actually used to be a Democrat. And anyway, that race is an important race. The House race in general in the general election is going to be really important. There's an opportunity for the Republicans to take the House, which would be a sea change in New Mexico politics. And so that would have, you know, that would be great for Martinez if she wins again. It would be harder for a Democratic governor if they were to win. In fact, one of the questions I asked Howie Morales, I said, how would you lead if you had a Republican House majority? You know, how is that going to change the dynamics at the state level? What are we going to be able to get through? Because there's been a lot of gridlock for, you know, the past 4 years. So I think there's a lot going on politically that is important, even if we don't have enthusiasm for the top of the ticket.
What was Morales' answer?
He said that he had a lot of experience as a legislator in the Senate, and that the House would be harder because he wasn't from there, but he would get through it.
You have to have some level of diplomacy, and we should note probably the most important aspect is to vote. Get out, read the ballots, go and vote. Information is online. The primary is June 3rd, and the general will be in November. Hopefully we can have you back to speak about the issues that have come up and the candidates who are all vying for various seats in November. I've been speaking with Lana Atkinson from the Department of Political Science at the University of New Mexico. She's also director of the Center for the Study of Voting, Elections, and Democracy. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.